everyone. Welcome to the first Sidetracks minicast for Derailed Trains of Thought. Basically, whenever we edit a podcast, I usually have a whole lot of, usually I do a lot of editing for it, take out a lot of ums and ahs and stuff like that. But when we recorded episode 2, we had a couple of segments that we needed to cut out. The podcast went long. So we had a couple of segments, including a discussion about the TV show The Event, which at the time that we recorded, it only had 2 episodes out. However, it's still a fairly interesting discussion, and as Nick has said, our opinions haven't changed a whole lot. Although I still find it a very fun show, some of our same criticisms hold true here. So we thought we'd release these few little snippets of discussions that got edited out during our off week, and hope you enjoy.
I'm still working my way through Avatar, so I can watch your Avatar.
Yeah, there's some fun stuff there.
I love them in their new outfits and
just, oh yeah.
And Toph, we just had the one with Toph when she's scamming the whole town. That was pretty much fun.
Yeah, I love their Fire Nation outfits. Very cool.
And I love that every season it's like they're opening up a whole new section of the world. You know, it's not like they're rehashing anything. It's always something brand new they're bringing forth.
Uh-huh. So. It's very funny to me that season 1 they travel like from pole to pole. Season 3 is entirely within one nation.
Yeah.
Pretty much entirely in the Fire Nation. And apparently it takes them just as long. Well, maybe not just as long, but
as many episodes.
As many episodes practically. Yeah. I've been meaning to for a while. I know that this exists, that I want to get some way to to capture analog signals into my laptop. Because I've actually seen it in Best Buy, like, you know, they'd have an RCA plug. Basically, you could plug a camcorder or a VCR into this thing, and then it'd format it for you.
That would be great.
And which I used to think it was you could only do, like, on a very, you know, expensive professional level, but it's become cheaper. And I'd love to do that so I could, like, convert some of, well, first of all, our old camcorder footage. Really be nice to store that in something more current.
Yes.
But also, you know, all these old VHS tapes that we have.
Oh, I know. There's some great ones.
Some stuff.
The original Hobbit cartoon on VHS. That's a great cartoon.
Nice.
Yeah. I used to have it taped off the TV with the 80s commercials on it.
Oh, really? Yeah, see, that's the other thing. I've got some fun stuff that's recorded from a long time ago that definitely include the 80s commercials because that's like...
Those are great.
Yeah. That's fun to rewatch. Something else interesting, I'm sure you would find interesting from my history of American cinema class. Something a textbook said that as the studios were developing the first talking movies, as it turned out, because they were getting writers in from, you know, some people who had done novels and plays, but it turned out the ones that turned into best dialogue were actually journalists. The reason is because, I mean, that kind of cinema, it was a kind of storytelling that had never been done before. You had to sound, it had to be very natural sounding, and playwrights were used to, you know, making their dialogue very dramatic and meant to play to the people in the back of the theater. Whereas in film, you want to be in the character's living room, basically.
And sometimes right next to them.
Yeah, so it has to all sound naturalistic sounding. Maybe not verbatim, because I think Roger Ebert once commented, if people in the movies talked exactly like people in real life do, it'd just drive us nuts.
Which is, I think, a very true statement. I remember taking my various writing classes, and Dr. Hensley, our teacher, was saying, you want to give a flavor how people really talk, but you never want to have them talk as they actually do.
Yeah.
It just doesn't sound right. It doesn't work well. Because all forms of media, you know, movie, film, play, all have their conventions. And you know they're just shortcuts. Even books have shortcuts in the way people talk to each other.
Sure.
They would talk about nothing for, you know, half an hour sometimes in real life.
Now, if you're Tarantino, you might be able to get away with it.
If you do it right, you can get away with anything. You can break any rule you want if you do it right.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. Are we going to... I guess we'll save the event for another time.
Yeah. Or maybe, yeah, we've been talking a lot. We probably shouldn't include it. Although we could talk now and still record it and see if it fits in somewhere.
Well, it might be easy because there's only two episodes, and I have thoughts on it, but I almost want to see, give it a little more time
to figure out what it's going to be. I watched the first episode, and I still didn't really know what it was about.
Yeah, and their time jumping thing is kind of cool, but at the same time, it's kind of random. Yeah. I'm not sure it's as focused as... I mean, it's almost like all it's trying to do is keep mystery or fill time and not necessarily being specifically
focused. Mm-hmm. There were some flashbacks last time that I was like, I'm not sure that was necessary. I mean, it was kind of cool to see him and his girlfriend at the pool, but it felt thrown in there.
And it felt really strange to do it right when he's running. I mean, you could see doing it at a different place. You know, him saying, my girlfriend's missing, you know, someplace when he's really distraught about his girlfriend, then you go back to how they met. Well, you know, I was thinking about this because people are going to compare it to Lost one way or another. Yeah. It doesn't help that the first episode has the main character either on a plane that's going to crash or on a tropical island. I mean, it's like the purpose.
Yeah.
Like this last episode, like the plane on fire and them getting, you're like, it just feels exactly like Lost, some of those scenes. I mean, not in the general thing, but just the imagery.
The plane crash and everyone else.
Do you really need to pick a plane to start off this whole thing? I mean, yeah, it's kind of cool, but...
Yeah, it's big and it's exciting. Exactly. I guess.
My thing is, I mean, I think it had a lot of potential, possibly. I think it'll probably be much more... What I guess if you say, you know, you got your top level, which is more action stuff, and your bottom level, which is more, you know, thought-provoking things. I think it's be more action-y and stuff. Well, I was thinking with the flashbacks of, like, Lost flashbacks never really were not necessarily there to tell us what had happened. That was part of it. It was more to tell us, who is this person?
That's true.
The question of who are these people is not really one we're much concerned about in this show.
That's very true.
But I'm not saying it's a bad show by any means. I think it could be fun. But.
It feels premature to really kind of judge what it is.
I was kind of disappointed. They already said they're aliens. Well, they didn't say it. I'm hoping, here's my hope. Zach thought first episode they were mutants or something like that. My hope is that they're different than humans, but that the event is something that happens to people to change them.
Yeah, aliens just seems kind of like the easy route.
Well, at least if it's going to be aliens, at least they say it's second episode and don't like try to tease us into what are these things, and then like season finale, they're aliens.
Yeah,
it'd be really horrible. there was one other thing I was going to say, but this episode didn't feel so much like the second episode. Didn't feel so much like Lost as V. Because now you have like this. Fifth column, aliens that's, you know, escaped and not, you know, trying to overthrow. Well, we don't really know what they're doing, but
yeah, I haven't even seen V, and it still sounds it still reminded me of it,
which is sad because it's not really like it. Just right now, it's just throwing so many not cliches, but things have been seen before, and just like throwing in a blender. I'm willing to give it time. It's not horrible.
Right.
It's entertaining. I mean, it's fun.
Exactly. And the first two episodes, in a sense, I kind of felt like they could have been combined into one.
Yeah, they were almost like a pilot together.
Yeah. But it'll be interesting. The trick is always in how they develop it, how they prolong it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where a lot of people felt Flash Forward kind of faltered because
they
had a great pilot. And people didn't like how it developed.
Now, I didn't see the second half of the season.
I didn't either. I was too caught up in schoolwork and never went back.
I heard the second half kind of got it rolling better, but by then it was already too late. But I did feel like,
which is a shame.
I did feel like it was a great idea, but it spun its wheels for a long time, it felt like. And people, unfortunately nowadays, if you want to get something going, you have to move it forward, but not give up all your cards.
And that was the problem with Heroes, too. I mean, they just... Heroes, they had a really great idea for what they wanted to do in the first season, and they did it well. But afterwards, they were like trying to recycle some of the same concepts over again.
And I
remember enjoying the second season, but I never enjoyed it as much as the first.
I know some people hate the second season. I watched it on DVD, and I thought it flowed better there. I know people complain about Hero being in Japan so long, but on DVD it didn't feel quite as bad.
I never had a problem with Hero in Japan. I thought that was interesting.
Sometimes I thought what Hero should have done is they had so many characters, they felt like every episode, every character had to do something. And I sometimes felt like if they would focus for a while and let us dig in deep on one or two characters at a time, mm-hmm. the show could have really worked well.
And when they did do that, it was really cool. The season one episode, I think, Company
yeah,
Man.
Yeah, everyone says it's one of the best, and I remember thinking it was one of the best of season one.
And it focused like almost exclusively on Hornrimmed Glasses and his family. Yeah.
I think you want action stuff, but honestly, I think people will stick around longer if they like the characters. And you like characters if you give them screen time.
Yeah.
And help develop.
If you got too many running around, you can't.
Well, that was always my thing with some of the later X-Men movies, that there were almost too many mutants running around. Mm. I mean, they were still a lot of fun, because you know, X-Men doesn't quite work, but most people go to an X-Men movie know the X-Men, and they don't necessarily want you to spend lots of time with. They want to see their favorite guy, and everyone has a different favorite.
That's true. So. Yeah, it's kind of a problem when you've got a multi-cast like that. Which will be interesting when they get around to doing the Avengers movie.
Yeah, the nice thing, most of the people in the Avengers movie have had their own movie already.
That's true. It's really great way they've organized it. But we better get back to the actual podcast.
That's true. Maybe we should save that. I don't know.